Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our public media friends across the region, bringing you the latest headlines. I'm Carl Lengel. It is Monday, the 16th of March, 2026. Montana Free Press reports that some Laurel residents are mounting a fierce campaign against state plans to build a psychiatric forensic facility near the edge of town. On a recent Tuesday, they packed a city council meeting after weeks of petitions and public records requests. The state picked a 114-acre site for a 32-bed secure facility tied to the criminal justice system. Officials say it would ease jail backlogs and would not release patients into town. Many locals say they support the mission but reject the process and the location. Laurel did not seek the facility. The city council is urging state leaders to engage with Laurel residents directly. In recent interviews with Montana Free Press, the facility's opponents rarely described themselves as adept government watchdogs, but a common sentiment that quickly pushed them to clear the learning curve, the bitter perception that the people of Laurel were overlooked and disregarded by state and city officials who don't care about their town's future nearly as much as they do. Southeast Wyoming clocked hurricane-level winds last week, and massive wind wreaked havoc across the entire state, Wyoming Public Radio's Caitlin Tan reports.
That's the sound of 80 miles per hour gusts whipping a hay tarp around in Lander while I tried to stand upright. Right after, the wind ripped a wheelbarrow out of my hands and into the pasture. Elsewhere in Wyoming, there were brush fires, downed power lines, city closures.
Even by Wyoming standards, this was a pretty exceptionally strong wind event.
Michael Natoli is with the National Weather Service. He says Cheyenne's airport clocked 92 miles per hour,
which was the strongest wind gust that has ever been measured at that weather station.
The storm is part of a wind event moving from the northwest U.S. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Caitlin Tan.
That major winter storm over the weekend helped to control several small fires that were burning across Montana. In Nebraska, things are a little bit different. Governor Jim Pillen gave an update Saturday morning on multiple wildfires burning throughout central and western Nebraska, scorching an estimated 600,000 total acres as firefighters struggled to gain the upper hand. Pillen toured the area and surveyed the damage before holding a press conference at the Keith County Fairgrounds about what may be the largest wildfire in the state's history. The governor said the death toll from the fire remains at one as of Saturday. He said he wouldn't provide more details about the person killed, but said people need to listen to evacuation orders once they are given. Pillen declared a state of emergency Friday for Morrill, Garden, Arthur, Keith, Lincoln, Dawson, and Frontier counties in response to the wildfires. As part of the proclamation, Nebraska Department of Transportation road graders were ordered to assist with fire breaks. National Guard troops are assisting local firefighters. National Guard helicopters are providing aerial firefighting. And a state-led complex incident management team was launched to coordinate response efforts. Pillen issued a statewide burn ban Friday to reduce the potential for additional wildfires. His executive order remains in effect until midnight on March 27th. While cost estimates are not available, Pillen said officials will work with FEMA and request federal funding assistance in the aftermath of the wildfires. U.S. Senator Pete Ricketts said the impact is extensive, and this week's wildfires were likely the largest in the state's history. A jury ruled in favor of Ravalli County Thursday in a federal class action lawsuit over the county's jail diversion program. Montana Public Radio's Eleanor Smith reports a jury ruled that the fees inmates pay for that program are constitutional.
Defendants charged with crimes in Ravalli County have the option to pay into a program so they can await trial outside of jail. The diversion program requires them to pay for services like ankle monitoring or drug testing. Those fees can cost up to $1,000 a month, according to court documents. Hundreds of people signed on to a class action lawsuit in federal district court in Missoula. They argue those fees were too high and limited access to bail. Phil Telfian, the plaintiff's attorney and executive director of national firm Equal Justice Under Law, law, argued that his clients were charged hundreds of dollars a month without the ability to challenge whether those fees were necessary. He said that caused an undue financial burden on his clients. Ravalli County's attorney, Mitchell Young, argued that it's legal to charge supervision fees under Montana law. Young said the sheriff's office works with individuals to make reasonable payment plans. Jurors deliberated for just under 3 hours before ruling in favor of Ravalli County. Attorneys for the plaintiffs in this case plan to appeal that decision. Reporting from Missoula, I'm Eleanor Smith.
The winter storm last week bolstered Red Lodge's annual skijoring race over the weekend. In skijoring, a horseback rider pulls a skier along a racetrack with berms and other obstacles. It has origins in Scandinavia. It is popular in the western U.S. as an extreme winter sport. The results were posted on the National Final Skijoring Race's Facebook page. In the youth combined race, Cale Haug, riding Cool Whip, and Reese Berndt in tow, won with a time of 60.47. In the novice combined race, Cody Vanerden, riding Boomer, with Devin Vogel in tow, clocked a time of 34.145. In the snowboard combined race, Lucas Garrett, riding Mator, with Kurt Layton in tow, won with a time of 37.984. Skijoring requires a track made of snow, which until recently was sparse in parts of Montana. Volunteers in Red Lodge spent last week making and gathering snow to create the track. That includes overnight shifts, heavy machinery, and lots of donated time and resources. According to Skijor USA, races are also planned this month in Wyoming and Colorado, including one that took place in Boulder, Wyoming, over the weekend. The number 2 Rocky Mountain College Battlin' Bears are headed to Kansas City this weekend for the NAIA Championship. Rocky Mountain edged the Masters of California 67-66 in a nail-biter Saturday at the Fortin Center in Billings to capture the trip to the finals. They are set to face Bellevue of Nebraska Friday evening at 7 p.m. For the final site schedule and viewing options, visit the NAIA website. Also over the weekend, number 8 Montana Tech lost to Oklahoma Wesleyan 67-46. In the women's NAIA playoffs, regional teams that advanced included Dakota State, South Dakota, DeHort of Iowa, Lewis and Clark of Idaho, and Dakota Wesleyan of South Dakota. DeHort defeated Rocky Mountain College women, and Montana Tech's women lost to Lewis and Clark of Idaho. The winning teams meet in Sioux City, Iowa at the Tyson Events Center starting Thursday, March 19th, with the first game tipping off at 1 o'clock featuring number 1 Freed Hardeman of Tennessee and number 5 Georgetown of Kentucky. For the final site schedule for the women, visit the NAIA website. The Montana Department of Commerce is ramping up its promotion of a new marketing brand. In a Friday press release, Commerce says it's inviting Montana makers to use the Montana brand to support Montana businesses. It enables them to represent the state in the products they manufacture. The official Montana brand is the most prominent brand used to promote Montana as a place to visit and conduct business. Montana Department of Commerce cannot sell products. Part of Commerce's mission is to find ways to get maximum exposure for Montana's brand to the state's key audiences. According to Mitch Staley, Chief Marketing Officer for Commerce, the state hopes to see Montana's brand used on designs in stores, online, and anywhere people buy Montana-themed products. Staley says these businesses' success with the brand will be Montana's success. While products created using the Montana brand will not receive any official endorsement from Commerce or the state, they will be allowed to use a statement noting that they are featuring the official Montana brand. Makers who use the Montana brand are required to follow the Montana brand guidebook, which is also available online. As an additional inducement to participate, Commerce plans to launch a contest that will allow businesses to showcase their use of the Montana brand this coming summer. For more information, contact Mitch Staley at mt.gov or go to visitmt.com and navigate to Montana brand. Those storms over the last few days forced a lot of weather adjustments, including the MSU Billings Science Expo. It had been scheduled for the past Saturday on the Billings campus. It'll take place this Saturday instead. According to the university press release, organizers were not happy about the decision, but agreed that the postponement was the right choice. The decision was based on information gathered about forecasted severe weather, including high winds, significant snowfall, cold temperatures, and blowing and drifting snow. The Science Expo is now this Saturday from 9 till 5 at the MSU Billings Yellowstone Science and Health Building. Students and judges can check in at 9, and judging starts at 10. Various demonstrations and science-related activities will be held throughout the event, including a multimedia chemistry show. Special guest speaker Angela Desjardins, director of the Montana Space Grant Program, will talk about NASA in Montana. That takes place at 2:30 Saturday afternoon. That's The Worm for this Monday. Catch up with us tomorrow. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.